Hello, teachers. Welcome to a new quarter. We're going to be studying Numbers and Deuteronomy. We studied Psalms, and before that, we were in Exodus and Leviticus, among other passages. So we're coming back to the Old Testament narrative. We're here in Numbers and Deuteronomy. I believe there's 7 lessons in Numbers and 5 in Deuteronomy. There is a various different kinds of literature in Numbers, but there's a lot of course, Numbers, the name kind of gives the idea that God was numbering the people. There was a census that was to be taken. And actually, our first lesson starts in session 9, because a lot of what happens in the first few chapters of Numbers describes that census. So when we get to chapter 9, the other kind of literature shows up, and that's narrative. It's telling about what happened when with the people of God, the children of Israel, after they came out of Egypt and Exodus, and as they're journeying in towards the promised land. And that's where we find ourselves in today's text in chapter 9. It's describing how the people of, literally like the function of how the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness, and specifically talks about how, what God's direction was for them. Of course, God directed them by Moses, the leader, in terms of he's giving them the law. He's kind of telling them the why and the what to do. But specifically, God directs in a very specific way. We're going to read that today. And this is not new information to most people who've been in church. But do remember, there are people in your class that may not know it. I know when we were studying Exodus last quarter, I had a gentleman that's like, wait, what happened to the children of Israel? Do they get out after the first lesson? And that was kind of fun, because it was new information to him. I like seeing new people coming to church, and it's good that there are people that don't know, because it means that you're reaching new people. So anyway, that's the idea of today's lesson. The theme really is God's guidance. And we've chosen this objective statement that every believer can follow God's guidance by submitting themselves to these 3 aspects of his guidance. The first one being God's presence. This is Numbers chapter 9. We'll start in verse 15 and 16. It says, And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always the cloud covered it by the day, and the appearance of fire by night. Here you speak specifically about God's presence. Now, we know that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere present. There's nowhere that we can go. As we read in Psalms a few weeks ago, we can't go anywhere to get away from God's presence. And there's comfort in that, that God's everywhere. And there's also fear in that, that God is everywhere, right? He sees the eyes of the Lord are on every place, beholding the evil and the good. So, like, that's true about God. But there was a manifest presence. There was a manifestation of God's presence among the children of Israel in this very visible way. There's a cloud, it says, and that cloud, some called it the Shekinah glory of God, and it was at least manifest in the cloud at one point in the time. But there's this cloud that was over the tabernacle, and then there's this fire at nighttime, or it says here appearance of fire a bunch of times in this passage. God's presence, visible presence, was there. And of course, this was natural in the sense that clouds are natural and fire is natural. It's part of nature. But it was supernatural in the sense that it was very obvious that this cloud and this fire moved in ways that normal clouds and normal fire didn't. And it was representative, if the people of God saw this as the presence of God in and among them. And we're going to see that in the next section. But God's presence is shown, his direction is given through his presence in the cloud and in the fire. And literally that was above the tabernacle, this tent that God had commanded Moses and the people to make, and that was a forerunner or a precursor of the temple There were different sections, and there were different allowances for people to go into these sections in the tabernacle. We know, of course, the holy place priest would go in, and then the Holy of Holies only one time a year the high priest would go into. And so that's true of the tabernacle, this tent. It's also true of the temple later on. And so God's presence was there in a way that it wasn't the holiest place. In that holiest place, the Holy of Holies, in a way that it wasn't in other places. And so we see God's presence. Of course, we know in the New Testament, it's the teaching is pretty clear that that now we are the place that the Spirit inhabits. If you're a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And that's why he says, what do you not know that the... What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we know that if you don't have the Spirit of God indwelling you, you're not one of His, the Bible says in the New Testament. And so one of the ways that God directs His people is by His presence. We see this in this supernatural, very visible sign kind of a way here. But we are also inhabited by that same Spirit of God that lives inside of us, and that wrote a book and directs us by His Spirit. God's Spirit brings God's Word to bear in a very present way to His people, and that's part of how He guides even today. And so we see first that God directs, and He does it through His presence. And He guides through His presence. We also see God doing this literally by His direction, by literally where He goes. And you see that in verses 17 to 21. It says, "And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed." We'll stop there. It's pretty obvious here that the direction that the appearance of fire and the cloud went determined the direction that the people went. They took the movement of this presence of God, or this manifest presence of God, as the direction and the commandment of the Lord as to where they would go. You see, like very specifically in the language in verse 17, the cloud was taken up, beginning part, then after the children of Israel journeyed. So when it was taken up, when it was moving, they journeyed. And when it abode, in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. So if it was moving, they were moving. If it was staying, they were staying. And they literally call it in verse 18, that the commandment of the Lord. So they saw the movement of this cloud and this fire as the movement of God, the direction of God. It's them telling them where to go. So you see God's direction there. You also see, yeah. So the children of Israel literally saw the movement of this cloud and of this appearance of fire as the direction of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord. So there's a directional aspect to it, but there was also a timing aspect to it that gets referred in verses 17, 21, but also gets referred to in the last section in verses 22 to 23. It says in verse 19, "And when the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, then the children of Israel kept charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And when the cloud was a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they abode in their tents." Verse 21, "And when the cloud abode even unto the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by night, the cloud was taken up, they journeyed." So whenever it moved is when they moved. It even says in verse 22, "And whether it abode 2 days or a month or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. When it was taken up, they journeyed." At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord and the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So there was direction, like literally like where it went is where they went, but also when they went is when they went. So they saw both the where and the when as the direction of the Lord. So I believe that there's a picture here about God's guidance for us. There are times where, of course, this is talking about the children of Israel having this visible supernatural manifestation, this sign of God's presence and his moving. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I get to the place where, especially when I'm in a difficult spot where I'm like, I don't know what to do here. I don't know where to go. I just kicked the camera. That I kind of wish that there was a, I get to the point where I wish there was the, that kind of visible, simple sign, right? God, where do you, like, almost like an internal GPS, like almost like, a teleprompter on my glasses, you know, telling me which way to go and what to say at any given time. But we have something way better than that. We have the Word of God, the Spirit of God that wrote the Word of God and dwells the people of God and doesn't leave. In fact, the Bible says, don't grieve that Spirit because, and I think he's telling us not to grieve him because sometimes we don't do what he says. That grieves him, and he doesn't leave. He stays. He seals us to the day of redemption. And so sometimes we see like what God did in the Old Testament and sometimes the New Testament as this supernatural thing, and we don't have access to the supernatural. But what I would say is the Bible is a more sure word of prophecy. It is a supernatural product of the Holy Spirit. We literally know in a lot of ways way more than they knew. We know more than they do because we have the Word of God in print. We can know what God said, and God gives us direction. And then his Spirit comes inside of us and he brings to mind the Word of God in our lives in specific moments in time and in ways that really do direct us, in ways that really do say this, not that, here, not there. And while God doesn't say, you know, God didn't say Ben Jennings, Findlay, Ohio, I cannot say that God did not direct me to Findlay, Ohio. God absolutely directed me here and has me here. And as long as I'm trying to do what God wants me to do and walking with God and doing all the things I know to do, if God wants me somewhere else, he'll put me somewhere else, and we can trust him in that sense. So I think that the same is true for all of us, that we walk with God daily. We allow God to abide in the sense that we abide in Christ. Jesus says, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. And if we remain, if we walk with God daily, we read his word, we try to apply his word, we're trying to obey his word, we're talking to him on a regular basis, that when we're submitted to God and he makes us who we ought to be, then he'll get us to do what he wants us to do and take us where he wants us to take us. And that's not any less supernatural than a cloud or a fire or, yes, GPS, Holy Spirit glasses in front of our eyes. I think God directs that way. So I think it's important for us to get direction from God. We need it every day. And we do that by seeking his word and being filled by his Spirit, literally controlled by his indwelling Spirit as we make decisions in life. And as we let the word of God, the word of the Holy Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, give us direction in our lives. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't have that. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you don't have the indwelling Spirit, you don't have the ability to be convinced of the truth of the Word of God. The Word of God is not illuminated by the Spirit in your life. It can be understood, but it won't be obeyed and it won't be applied. in the way that a living spirit takes the living word and applies it to our hearts. So if you don't know Christ as your Savior, the people in your class don't know Christ as Savior, they're not going to get God's direction. If they do know God as Savior, they can fight the spirit. They can grieve the spirit. And so I think the message is, like, if God moves, you need to move. If he says no, you need to stop. If he says go, you need to get up and leave. And you need to get into God's word so that you can know what he wants. I hope this helped you think through this lesson, apply the lesson, and I hope that it impacts your life before it impacts anybody in your class. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.